Never once did Jesus' disciples ask, could you teach us how to worship? Luke 11, verse number 1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So apparently, it just doesn't come natural. Apparently, according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, don't use vain repetition as the heathens do, you know? And then he gave us a formula of how to pray, how to get those things that we really need. It's the avenue. It's the place where we get answers. Then if you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, you know, if you were downstairs this morning, you would get extra points for bringing your Bible. What about upstairs, folks? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5 says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves. Oh, that's a hard lesson to learn. We're not sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. The only way we can be complete, the only way we can get whatever we need isn't because we work harder, we work smarter, but maybe we need to carry something to God. Amen. Amen. Mark, the 1st chapter. Verse number 13. Talks about Jesus in the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. He was in prayer, and there were wild beasts. And angels ministered to him. Every time we kneel down and pray, every time we speak to the Lord, there are angels that are ministering to us. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing. We ask your anointing upon this feeble message that God, somehow we could hear from heaven, not from an individual. Not our thoughts, but your thoughts. Not our ways, but your ways. And God, we ask in that precious name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. If we could keep the screen down. I'd also like you to turn to Genesis, the 24th chapter. Thursday, May 4th, was National Prayer Day, the 66th annual day of prayer. And I got a letter from our general superintendent, you know, bringing that to our attention. And I said yesterday, as far as I know, there's only one country in the world that has a national day of prayer. And I really believe that the freedoms and the blessings that we have are because this nation will pray. And the founding fathers would get together, not like the Congress today, but then they would spend an hour on their knees praying for the will of God for the country. And when prayer stops in this country, then God's blessing stops. When prayer stops in this church, then this church is no more. Amen. So Genesis chapter 24, I've read this many times. It's all about getting a bride for Isaac. And Eliezer, it goes on a trip of 400 miles in order to find a bride for Isaac. It's probably one of the greatest love stories in the entire Bible. Genesis 24 and verse 34, it says, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and to take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord will, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for my camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, that is so neat, because sometimes we're just thinking, God, if you could, in our thoughts, and before we even get the words out, God's saying, okay, here it is. If you've not had that experience, you need to have that experience. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down onto the well and drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. Hallelujah. Verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Anybody looking for a husband? I am. Hallelujah. For those of you young people who wonder if you will ever find someone in the church to marry, and I know that thought goes through young people's minds, take note that God will always direct you to a godly girl or a godly man. Had to go 400 miles to find one, because he was going to take one of the Canaanites. Don't think that you can marry outside the church and later you can convert them to Pentecost, because it's not going to happen. It will not happen. Did you know that God is still looking for a bride? His church. He's still looking for him. You know where he finds it? At the well. Someone who wants the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I've preached some of this message many years ago, but I know beyond a doubt that God has directed me. And most all of you have heard the story of Beauty and the Beast, and it's not the story of my wife and I. In fact, I've got some pictures. A picture is worth 10,000 words. Amen. So I want you to see some illustrations of Beauty and the Beast. The beauty is on the left side. My granddaughter went to see some alpacas, and I guess they're very soft and cuddly. Amen. And they don't spit. Amen. Next slide, please. Amen. Beauty and the Beast. I remember that day. I remember. A lot of tension. Next slide, please. Glory to God. Beauty and the Beast. Amen. Next slide, please. Hallelujah. Literally a beast. I got up in the middle of the night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. And as I was walking back through the bedroom, the dog had moved. And we have dark carpeting in our bedroom. And this dog is dark. And he's huge. He's about 165 pounds now. Well, I just took a nosedive right in. I'm thinking, do we really need this dog? Next slide, please. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a horse once. He's in purgatory right now. If you haven't noticed, I was not born with eyelashes. But we wanted a dog with eyelashes. Next slide, please. Truly a beauty. Thank you, Brother Savodic. Hallelujah. Amen. Beauty and the Beast. It was a fairy tale written in the year 1566 by a French author. It has a number of versions written throughout the years. Disney made an animated cartoon, Beauty and the Beast, and it was very popular. Most of the kids have seen it. The condensed version is a man one day became lost in the forest and came upon a huge castle surrounded by a rose garden, and he picked a rose and suddenly a hideous beast appeared. Demanding to know why he had stolen a rose out of his garden, and the man finally explained that the rose reminded him of his lovely daughter named Beauty. So the beast promised to let him go if he brought the daughter, Beauty, back to the castle. The man convinced his daughter, she didn't want to, but he convinced the daughter to come to the castle to see this one who had all the authority. Have you ever tried to convince someone to come to church? You know? And they thought that it would be ugly. It wouldn't be good. She was enchanted with the castle and the beauty of the gardens around it. Some people love this building, even love our song service, but not committed to the one that lives here forever. She was repulsed by the ugly beast, and one night the beast asked her to marry him, and she refused. But over the time, she grew a friendship. This will preach, folks. Some months later, she realized that she had fallen in love with that which was ugly, something that she was repulsed by. And the next time the beast asked her to marry him, she said, yes. And it was immediately changed into a prince, this beast. And they lived happily ever after. The altar is now open. Anybody like a good ending? Amen. All right. The moral of the story for the last 500 years is, as true beauty is often disguised in ugliness. Many people aren't here this morning because they just don't think that there's anything good that can come out of church. There are many great love stories in the Bible, Jacob and Rachel, Ruth and Boaz, but the greatest of all is Isaac and Rebekah, because it is so much like the great love story between Jesus and his bride, the church. Isaac, like Jesus, was a supernatural birth, and he carried the wood up to Mount Moriah, which he was going to be sacrificed on, and Jesus carried his cross up to Calvary. Rebekah is a type of the church. She went the extra mile for the groom and was willing to leave her world behind to pursue someone she had never seen before. Anybody see Jesus? Are you willing to walk out of your old world and get on a camel to come to find Jesus? In our scripture text in Genesis 24, there are several characters portrayed. Isaac mentioned 8 times, Rebekah mentioned 13 times, Eliezer, the servant, mentioned 14 times, but the character I'd like to focus on is mentioned more than any other, 17 times in the scripture. This character is not human, it's a beast. It is often called the ship of the desert. It was because of the beast that the bride was selected, and she was delivered to the groom on this beast. Hallelujah. It is, of course, a camel. I don't know if you've ever been face-to-face with a camel. I've been face-to-face with a camel. I remember years ago riding a camel. My wife was on her own camel, and we were riding out to the pyramids in Egypt, and it really is a cool ride because they don't trot like horses. They got these great big pads, and they just kind of walk, and it's a very comfortable ride, especially if you get to two humpers, you know. And so when we got to the pyramids, the camel kneels down and allows us to get off. They have all kinds of calluses on their knees because they bend down all of the time. And my wife wasn't ready. And when the camel bent down, she went flying over the head of the camel, and the guy who was leading us grabbed her in time. Amen. Glory to God. I have a picture of Sister Tamil on a camel. I thought that was kind of cool. Amen. They are ugly. Teeth that look like they have been chewing tobacco forever. I've seen them spit 10 feet, but they have the softest muzzle of any animal that I've ever touched. They have long eyelashes. Their knees are all calloused from kneeling and accommodate their riders. But without the camel, many people would not have been able to survive a dry place. Without prayer, you probably would never be able to survive a dry place. Now, the servant Eliezer is a lot like each of us. We want God to give us a sign to confirm our direction. I talked about that Wednesday night if you were here. Eliezer prayed, "Let the young lady not only offer water to me, but water my camels as well. Let her be the one." Hey, this was no small prayer. You know what? I'm not afraid to ask God for the impossible. You know? Not just, well, let her be wearing a blue dress. No, let's really ask God. I don't want to have any kind of doubt. Well, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. No, I want something that's very obvious, and God will do that in his mercy. There were 10 camels double parked that day. Now, each camel could drink up to 30 gallons of water. That's 300 gallons of water carried up many steps in order to water all of those camels. What will we do to be able to see Jesus one day? Just come in and take a little sip of water that God has given us at the altar? Or are we willing to go beyond what is necessary? I'm exhausted just thinking about what this woman did, and for a stranger that she had never known, what kind of kindness. The beast is prayer, and we have to work at prayer. But prayer is a vehicle by which we get to the groom, our Jesus. We can't get to our God in any other way. You can be a Christian and not be able to sing a note. You can be a Christian and not be able to even read the Bible. You can be a Christian and not be able to teach a Bible study or have any position within the church. But you can't be a Christian without praying. Amen. You have to. Amen. You know, I don't like playing the piano much. And the reason I don't is because I don't know how. And some people don't like to pray. And the reason they don't is because they really don't know how. Some people have shown up for Saturday morning prayer thinking an hour, that's impossible. And so after 10 minutes, they just don't know what to do. They pray for everything. And then when they continue, it seems like there's not enough time in an hour. You know, I'm never exhausted or have lack of thoughts for talking to friends. Some of you can talk all day and all night, but you can't pray 10 minutes. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18 and 1 says, men ought always to pray and not faint. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, is that us? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. It is first if my people will pray. The ones who are called by my name, we have a greater responsibility than any kind of Christian denomination because we have the name of Jesus and he's waiting for us to pray and ask. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. This is a choir here? Because in the last few months, this church has been on its knees in prayer and in fasting. You think that this morning is just an accident, it's just because we came together. No, there have been some people who have been kneeling in prayer and fasting. There are people who come early to service and pray, stay late after service and pray. They come on Saturday mornings. There's at least 100, 150 people who come every Saturday morning, not just on nice days like yesterday, but days that were cold and rainy and snowy. People at all times of the day who show up here, they've got keys to the church. We have a prayer network for urgent requests. We have the attention of God because we're talking to God all of the time. And because of prayer, God is healing our bodies and our finances and our marriages and bringing backsliders back and bringing visitors and filling people with the Holy Ghost and doing all sorts of signs, wonders, and miracles within the church. And when we walk in here, even though we've only been here for a little while, we're paralyzed by the presence of God and tears stream down our face all because there's somebody who's been on the beast of prayer. It's work. Work to water 10 camels. Work to intercede for an entire city, relatives, friends, people that are in Texas we're praying for. It's work sometimes. It's not fun. Lots of trips to the well. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. We can pray anywhere because Jesus is everywhere. Things don't change prayer, but prayer changes things. If you had a difficult time, you have a choice, either to stop praying or pray more. So things don't change prayer, but prayer will change things in your life. Prayer is our burden bearer. Those who will say, like Jacob, I will not let you go until you bless me, God. They're just so determined. I'm going to get an answer. God, I'm going to seek your face. God, I'm going to pray for what I need every morning, every night. Some people find prayer to be ugly. A camel is not a gazelle. A camel is not a peacock. It's not a beautiful thing to most. Prayer is easy, prayer is hard, and that's the paradox of touching God. Sometimes we come and we don't feel like praying, but when we start praying, we feel like praying. Prayer becomes beautiful as we spend time in prayer. Amen. It's like most things. We're not good at it until we continue to do it. And the more you pray, the more you love to pray, because God is a rewarder. God touches, God answers prayer. what some people thought would be a hard thing on a Saturday morning has been something beautiful in reality. And the way God moves and touches in such an intimate way, it's hard only because we have to humble ourselves. We have to say, time out to everything else in my life. I'm going to talk to my God. It's demeaning our intellect because it doesn't make sense to the rest of the world to talk to a God that is invisible. It crucifies our own vain glory and the things that we've accomplished. It is a witness to our spiritual bankruptcy that I need more of you, God. I've been in the church for 40 years. I need more of you, God. I've got to talk to you about this thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes you might want to just put a chair where you're praying and talk to that invisible God who is there to help make it more tangible. Prayer testifies to the fact that we can't do anything without Him. Prayer is a daily reminder that we can get too big for God, but we can never be too small. Hallelujah. What beauty did Rebecca see in the labor for those camels? I wonder if God whispered in her ear, your ride has arrived. The thing that you have been praying for all of these years is suddenly here. That's the way prayer is. You know, if you look at Luke 11, it talks about how the man would not stop knocking. And all of a sudden, it's arrived. Your ride has arrived. The vehicle sent from your father's house to give you what you need. She was not given another option. And we aren't giving. Let's just worship God. No. We can worship God, and it's a wonderful thing, but we really have to have an earnest conversation with God and empty our heart. God, you know what I am feeling. Yes, He does, but He wants to hear you say it. Without the camel, she could not have gotten to the prospective husband that she wanted. Without prayer, we will never get to Jesus. Even before our salvation was purchased, Jesus got on a beast. And he wrote it to Gethsemane, prayer in the wilderness, prayer on the mountain, prayer in the garden, prayer in the cemetery. He could not have gotten to where he was going to be without prayer. That's the flesh. Now, I mentioned that camels are not very beautiful, but what they lack in beauty, they make up in strength and stamina. They can survive the heat, they can survive the cold, they can carry up to 1,000 pounds, travel for days without food or water. Why is prayer beautiful? Because it has stamina and it has strength. It will keep you going where nothing else will keep you going. Worship is great, but we lose its strength in a short period of time. We worship like mad on a Sunday night. By Monday morning, all of a sudden, we're depleted. But if we were to pray all night, hey, Rebecca, if Isaac really loved you, he would have sent a chariot with stallions. Arabian stallions, in order to pick you up. She would have smiled and said, you don't know much about the desert, do you? Because there are some things that will not survive without you getting on your knees. There are some things you will never get unless you have the stamina and the strength of talking to God in the middle of the night when you get up in the morning. These camels don't look like much, but I'm in this thing for the long haul. And people who just show up on a Sunday morning, clap their hands a little bit, and then come back on another Sunday morning, chances are they will not have the stamina. They may not make it for the long haul, but if you start communicating with a God who is listening for your every thought, I don't care about winning the race, I just want to finish the race. And prayer will allow you to finish the race. You see, I'm 400 miles from the man who wants me. I'm a gazillion miles from the place he has prepared for me. But the whole journey is all established on my communication with a God that I have never seen in my life, but I know he exists. And Rebecca thought, when I'm done watering these animals, they can go over 1,000 miles without a refill. Prayer may not look so beautiful, but I'll tell you, it'll get me home. You know what? Jesus has never given us another option. Luke 18 and 1 says, either pray or faint. And that's it. How many times has he sat at the edge of your bed waiting for you to wake up just to talk to him? How many times have we gone through a dilemma that we don't have any answers to, and there he is waiting for you to say, oh, I can't do this on my own. And then that day comes when the camels start to pick up their pace. 400 miles. I wonder what Jesus looks like. 400 miles. They knew that they were close to home. I'm telling you, when we're getting closer to home, we ought to pick up the pace a little. Some more people ought to buy into prayer. And off in the distance, Rebecca saw a young man walking towards them. Genesis 24 and 64 says, she literally fell off her camel. Oh, if there's anything I'd like to fall off of, it's a whole lot of prayer with my God and be raptured out of here during the middle of a prayer meeting. The camel she rode on knelt down and she slid off and then started to run to her groom. But just maybe, she stopped and she looked back at that ugly kneeling camel and said, thank you for bringing me home. Thank you. One day our feet are going to leave this ground, and I'm wondering if we'll look back and say, thank you. Thank you, prayer, for bringing me all the way home. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, and what we forfeit because we don't bring everything to him in prayer. Would you stand with me? Sometimes I guess I may offend people or say the wrong thing, and you know what happens? The communication stops. And the only way the relationship can ever be repaired is to have communication. And I don't know where your relationship with our God is this morning, but I'm telling you, all he's looking for is a little communication, a little prayer, a little time with him. Come on. Would you talk to him this morning?